Ladies, have you ever tried to make a dress by just guessing at the measurements? No, you probably used a pattern if you wanted it to fit. And men, have you ever decided you're just going to guess at what type of oil to put in the new car you just bought and how much oil it should take? Are you going to go to the car manual? I think we all know the answer. How many of us would go to a pharmacist who would just make up the medications by guessing how much to mix together? No, we want a pharmacist that stays with the instructions of how these medicines are to come together, according to the work of the apothecary, as we see even back in the days of Moses, Exodus 37:29. So we can all see the need for a pattern, for instructions in these examples. But what about in religion? Does God expect us to follow a pattern? Well, we need to go to the Bible and notice Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. That's obviously the church, is it not? For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, not Levi. Seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So we want to discuss this morning and go to the scriptures and answer again the question, does God expect us to follow a pattern? And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity, exactly what we all need to be doing. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we're studying God's precious word in our Bible classes. And then as we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth. Now notice, according to the New Testament pattern, as we're going to study this morning, John 4:24. And something else to mention, we're certainly glad to have you join in with us. And we're glad to study the Bible with anyone and answer Bible questions that you may have. Your comments are always appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study this morning as we're answering the question, does God expect us to follow a pattern? We're going to go back to the patriarchal age and notice that God gave Noah a pattern. Genesis 6:14-15. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. Notice that word, the fashion. That is the pattern. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. So God told Noah the fashion, or again, we could use the word pattern. Now, if you notice, the ratio here is the same ratio that's used in shipbuilding, is it not? Say around 40, 450 feet if you go by the cubit being 18 inches or so, 75 feet by 45 feet. So that's, again, a ratio used still today. But in Genesis 6:22, here's what we want to focus in on. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So Noah didn't guess at the dimensions. He didn't decide, well, I'm going to try some other wood because it's closer to me. It's easier to gather. No. What did he do? He did what God commanded him to do. He got gopher wood. He made the ark as God said to make it. He didn't guess at it. He didn't substitute anything. Of course, God would not have accepted it had he done other than what God had commanded. And so we note that Noah and his family were saved by water instead of perishing as all the rest of the people did, as Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. You see, they were obedient. 1 Peter 3:20. And the like figure, whereunto also baptism doth now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Of course, we have to answer our conscience. It needs to be set towards God. But baptism doth save us because that's where we contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. That's verse 21 in 1 Peter 3. And how many people say baptism doesn't save us? God says it does. I believe I'll stay with what God says. How about you? But let's go on. Now we go to the Mosaic Age. We just left the patriarchal age. As God gave Noah a pattern, Noah followed that pattern. Now we're going to see that God gave Moses a pattern. In Exodus 25, verse 9, according to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And in verse 30 of chapter 26, the next chapter over, fashion is used. So these terms are interchangeable. Well, we go now to chapter 40 of the book of Exodus, verse 16. Thus did Moses according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. Just like we read with Noah. According to all that the Lord commanded, not part of it, no, all of it. Had Moses guessed at the dimensions of the tabernacle and the fashion thereof, would God have accepted it? We all know the answer. No, God would not have accepted it. Let's notice an example in Leviticus chapter 10 where Nadab and Abihu, they were the sons of Aaron, verse 1 of Leviticus 10. They took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered, notice, strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Now, he obviously commanded them the type of fire they were to use. As you study in Exodus chapter 30, but they didn't do that. They did what God had not commanded. So what God has commanded for us today, we better not add to it or take away. We're not going to be punished as they were, but here's the example in verse 2. This was the result of their disobedience. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, God means business. And at this time, they were priests. They were the sons of the high priest, Aaron. And this is the way they responded to God's command. Well, you see, God dealt with them in a most severe way. But it's a lesson still for everyone today, as it's recorded in Scripture. So we need to take heart that God means what he says. Now, note this. As we go now to Deuteronomy 32, verse 51, we need to understand why God prohibited Moses from entering into the promised land. And it was because of what? Moses' disobedience. God said to speak to the rock. What did Moses do? He struck the rock. And the results was being forbidden to enter in the promised land. Now, God did allow Moses to look over into it from the mount. And then Moses died and God buried him. Moses, no doubt, will be in paradise, or is in paradise awaiting the second coming, and of course will be in heaven. But you see the results of his disobedience. Now, we've looked at the patriarchal age. God gave Noah a pattern for building the ark. We've just seen that God gave Moses a pattern during the Mosaic age, and both did as God said. But now we need to go to today's time, the Christian age, the last age. Has God given us a pattern for today? And we're going to find in the scriptures, the answer is obviously yes. It's going to be clear where no one should miss it. We're going to go to the book of Ephesians first, chapter 2, and notice verses 20 through 22. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And notice, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fittedly framed together groweth unto the holy temple in the Lord. The church is the holy temple in the Lord. Of course, it's a spiritual temple, not a physical temple. In whom, Christians that is, ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And so we have to follow the Spirit's teaching. This is where we're going to see, yes, clearly God has given us a pattern for today. How is the church to be organized? We start with the head of the church is Christ. Go back to chapter 1, still in Ephesians 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And we emphasize the church, do we not? Because there's only one church, which is his body. Verse 23, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now Christ is the only head of the church. Man is not to think he's going to be the head of the church. Why does the person that calls himself the Pope think he's the head of the church? When it's Christ, you don't want to take the place of Christ. That's not at all what anyone should be doing. But, of course, this is sad to say, the situation still today, isn't it? But Christ is the head of the church with all authority. He doesn't need a vicar here on the earth. No, sir. He has all authority reigning in heaven. And through his word, we understand his doctrine. Now, under the head of the church, elders are serving as shepherds of the flock. And there's qualifications for the eldership, for the men that are going to be elders, and it's always plural, never one elder. Titus 1:5 bears that out, doesn't it? Ordain elders in every city where there's a congregation of the Lord's church. There was to be elders, at least two. And you see in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, the qualifications, as well as in Titus 1, 5 through 9. Now these men are also referred to as bishops, overseers, presbyters, yes, and they're shepherds. But the term elder, the eldership, elders making up the eldership, that's often used now. Well, that's again to the going with the pattern that God has given. And under the elders, oftentimes there's men that are appointed deacons, though they have to meet the qualifications. Again, now these are given in 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13. You'll want to study all these later. And also, as part of the organization of the church, you have preachers and teachers. Now, as we know, ladies, they have a vital role in the church, but being a preacher with men present is not one of them. Yes, They're not to usurp the authority over the men. Now, they certainly can teach ladies' classes and children's classes, but not with men present. And we stay with the Word of God there. You see, preachers and teachers, 2 Timothy 1:11. So that's part of the organization of the church. And all are members of the body of Christ, Ephesians 5:30. So we're all working together, and this is the organization of the church. Now, again, that's according to the pattern. Well, what about the mission of the church? Is there a pattern for the mission of the church? Well, yes, there is. Number one, evangelism. We're to preach and teach the word throughout the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Preach the gospel to every creature, the Great Commission. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And the time is going to come, they will not endure sound doctrine. This is 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We don't want to have itching ears. We want to know the truth. And there needs to be preachers and teachers, of course, doing that. And thus, this is a mission of the church to preach the word. And edify the members is number two. This is to build up the church, Ephesians 4, 12, 16, 29. So evangelism, preaching the word. Number two, edifying the members, building up the church. It's the mission of the church, the work of the church. What about number three? Benevolence. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. These are the three works of the church, the mission of the church. That's according to the pattern. So why do congregations want to build a family life center with a gymnasium and think that's the work of the church? No, sir, that's the work of the community. Take caring of young people's activities and so forth in regards to sports. That's not the mission of the church. And we're given a pattern on how we're to worship God. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him. How? In spirit, with the right attitude, and in truth, in accordance to the New Testament pattern, as we usually say in the front of the program. That's part of the pattern to worship God, is to do so with a proper attitude, but in accordance to the pattern. Now, what is the pattern for worshiping God? Number one, preaching. That's going to be part of the worship service. As we go now to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we see upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, that's partaking of the Lord's Supper. And that was done every first day of the week. Paul preached unto them until midnight, ready to depart on the morrow. Now, so we see one of the avenues of worship is preaching, as Paul did preach. Now, he continued unto midnight, which we normally don't do today. Maybe they started later. We don't know what time they started. But the point is, that's part of the pattern that God has given us to worship. Now, also in that verse, we found what? The Lord's Supper. That breaking of bread, that's a part put for the whole. They were to do all five avenues of worship, but that's certainly one of them every first day of the week, as you see there in Acts 20, verse 7, also Acts 2, verse 42, as the church began on the day of Pentecost. And this is going to be done every worship service, not quarterly, not when someone decides we're going to have the Lord's Supper. It's every first day of the week in accordance to the New Testament pattern. That's what we're emphasizing, isn't it? Well, of course, something else that's part of worship the worship service is praying. Acts 2:42 again. They continued in prayer. This is, of course, our daily life as a Christian, but it's part of worship. Now, I don't know of any religious groups, you know, that would say you're not to pray as part of the worship service. No. But this next one, here's where we get into some difficulty with a number of religious groups, because they don't understand the command for music in worship to God is specifically pointed out. Singing, not playing, not singing and playing, but the specific command is singing. Notice Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making what? Melody, where? In your heart to the Lord. Who misunderstood it? That's clear. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with what? Grace in your hearts, there it is, to the Lord. Now, how do you teach and admonish on a piano or some instrument that man has made? You can't make melody in your heart using an instrument of music. The instrument God gave us, that's the only one you can use, and speak to yourselves and teach and admonish. And everybody should see that. It shouldn't be difficult. Stay with the pattern. That's what we're saying. And then, of course, the fifth avenue of worship is giving of our means. God loveth a cheerful giver. But notice 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, we're to lay by in store as we've been prospered and give of our means on the first day of the week. When the disciples came together, that's to worship God, and it's certainly a part of worship. Those are the five avenues according to the New Testament pattern. Now, we need to talk about this. Worship can be in vain because Jesus said so. Matthew 15:8-9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Why is that, Lord? But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We don't want to be following the commandments of men. We want to be following the doctrine of Christ. Otherwise, our worship is in vain. And it can be ignorant worship as well, as the people of Athens had an altar to the unknown God. They weren't worshiping properly. They didn't even know who God was. And that was ignorant worship, Acts 17:23. So let's understand that God has given us a form of doctrine, Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Did we understand that term form of doctrine? That's what we're talking about. How important is it to follow the correct form of doctrine? Well, our salvation depends on it. In 2 John 1:9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. We better be abiding in the doctrine of Christ. Paul guarded this doctrine, did he not? Well, yes, he did. In Galatians 1:6-9, clearly Paul, by inspiration, told Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13. God has given us not only a pattern in how the church is to be organized, about how the church is to carry out its work, its mission, not only how the church is to worship God, yes, he's given us a pattern for all that, but also how to live as Christians. There's a pattern. 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He left us a pattern to follow, didn't he? That ye should follow his steps. Jesus told his disciples, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. John 13:15. Yes, we live in the world, but we are not to live after the world. Oh no. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 John 2:17. Let's live according to God's word. And we ourselves as Christians should be a pattern of good works. Titus 2:7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. And since God is perfect with all wisdom and power, we need to ask this question. Why do people, religious people, want to change God's pattern? Does that not show a lack of trust in God? Yes, God is perfect in all wisdom and power. Why would anyone want to change what God has set forth? And he has set forth his pattern to be followed. And we want to be sure that we trust God with all our heart, not a half a heart, that we're not leaning on our own understanding. Proverbs 3:3, all the way through 5, study those passages. Now, as we close out our study this morning, yes, God has given us a pattern, a form of doctrine, and that is the doctrine of Christ, and we're all under that law of Christ, whether we follow it or not. And we know God demands obedience, as we know with Christ. And being made perfect, he learned by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Obey him, not believe only. Hebrews 5:9. So we want to stay with the pattern. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. 1 Timothy 1:16. Yes, God is just, and justice demands punishment to those who do not follow his pattern. Are we following the pattern that God has given? Well, if not, it's not too late to change. And by the grace of God, we can obey his pattern for salvation. We have to hear the truth. Romans 10:17. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. Mark 16:16. And repent of our sins. Acts 17:30. Confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. That's unto salvation. And then to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We're contacting the precious blood of Christ in that watery grave. And thus our sins are washed away by that precious blood that he shed on the cross. Acts 22:16. And certainly live faithfully even unto death, worshiping God in accordance to the New Testament pattern, following the example of Christ as we live our daily lives. And then we're going to be prepared to stand before the Lord on the day of judgment as we're preparing for eternity by following the pattern that God has given us. And so we stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel if you have not done so. We're also willing to study further to go over these lessons again and search the scriptures to be sure what I'm saying is so. I can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. And are we following God's word? We may have sincerity about thinking we're doing right, but if we don't know by the scriptures, we can't be sure. And we can't play around with our salvation. That's talking about eternity. And so we certainly want to help anyone study God's word. And we are so thankful that you listen today. May God bless you.